song, and we get to hear how to be righteous, being praised. Do we have any young children that would like to go to children's church? They are just leaving at this time. Yep, good hands to see up. You guys feel free to go. Yes. Justine and Jane will be there. And so, I do want to apologize somewhat for roping off the back section. Because it does change things up and it pulls people forward. One thing it does for the pastor, when you sit forward, it allows us to be closer together. It allows the pastor to have eye contact and better relationship. It allows us as a body to come together better in relationship. And I truly mean about the pieces of paper that were put on there. Just not to have empty chairs, but we should be praying to fill those chairs. So I'm thankful when you sit forward. And I'm sure if we keep sitting forward, Pastor Bruce will be just as thankful. My sermon today, as Bruce discussed about when I first came in January, is going to be from Seeking God for Our City. And this week's theme was righteousness. And I was looking and studying and preparing, and I wasn't sure where it was going. And God said, how many people heard your sermon last week? Who was here last week? Can I see some hands? Oh, it's good to see you, okay? You've all convicted yourself for answering some questions now. So if you didn't hear my sermon last week, you're off the hook. But last week, when I preached, did you hear that God created all things? Did you? I would say yes. Did you hear that God created glory and that it was bigger than we could even imagine? Yes. Did we even understand how God's glory is so great? Or did we open up that it's bigger than we even thought of? Did some people think of that? And got to see that God's glory is bigger than we even think? Now that we're understanding glory a little bit, did anybody share their glory with somebody last week? Good. I see some heads going yes. Because that's what we're meant to do, is to share the glory of God with others. What you've done is blessed me in that God's word was heard. Last week's sermon wasn't a one-time thing. It was supposed to be life-changing. These sermons aren't so that you see John does a great job studying. John is a very good speaker. Because that's not true. He is not. The gift I would like to have you guys hear is, no, it's not from John. It's from the Lord. In fact, one person here came to me and said, you know what? That was a meat and potatoes sermon. And that made a difference because it had substance. It wasn't just full of fluff. And that's the way I'd like you to keep all of these sermons, is trying to be meat and potatoes. As I was writing the sermon last week, I thought I knew exactly what God wanted. And on Friday, the Holy Spirit convicted me. What you are writing isn't what I want the people to hear. And that isn't very fun for a pastor on Friday to be thinking about rewriting a sermon. Because Saturday morning, I wanted to spend the morning with my wife over with her dad, helping her. Or I wanted to spend it with my son and my daughter going to the deer. They had an expo down at the state fair. And then after noon, I wanted to come to the church and be able to paint with the men and have unity with the body here. And God said, that isn't what I want, John. Stop. Listen to me. So 8 o'clock yesterday morning, I started writing the sermon over again. And then I learned patience throughout the day, bigger than I ever have. And I think the sermon wasn't for you as much as it was for me to learn and how to work through difficulties as a pastor. Because life isn't fair. And then as the day went on, I ended up counseling some people through the day. My wife called about 5:30 wanting to know if I'm coming home for dinner. I didn't return her call till 8. And some of us guys are looking, ooh, you're in big trouble. I am so blessed with a saint for a wife, because she knows that this is where my heart is. So when I got home at 8 o'clock, I had my sermon written, but I haven't went through it yet. I haven't even practiced it. So you get to hear the first run. So before I get into the Word, I feel that as a body I could use your prayers so that the Word is heard. So can you all pray with me? Can we as a body come together and pray, dear Heavenly Father, help guide my words in this sermon so that as you being heard, it is written so that your people will hear what they need to hear. As I speak, please ask them not to hear me as a person or hear me at all, that they actually hear you and that these words are transforming and that we are in a relationship with you, that we are not no longer acting our lives, that what we're hearing today is going to be life-changing, and that we take responsibility in what we hear and we put it into action. I pray this in your name. Amen. I hear, and I don't remember the Bible verse, and it's kind of embarrassing as a pastor, but what I hear is, I don't want to be a clinging gong. And some of you that really know their scripture know that it's in there. Is 1 Corinthians 13? Thank you. So as I looked up and I studied, what is righteousness? The first thing that came to mind was Pharisees. But that isn't what God wanted us to see. So I looked it up. In the Bible, righteousness is used 232 times. 156 times in the Old Testament. 67 times in the New Testament. Now, as I looked it up, in the Hebrew writing, there's actually two words used to represent righteousness. And Hebrew is very poor, so I'm not going to even try to pronunciate them. But they mean to be righteous, innocent, vindic. Now all of a sudden the word left my mouth. Vindicated. Thank you for reading that off the screen. And also to be proper in God's standings, to do what is right. Being right. And it shows all the different places it's being used. In the second Hebrew meaning, we see it's for righteousness, acting according to God's purpose and standard, doing what is right, being right. And in the New Testament, we see the Greek definition. And there's only one in the Greek. What is right? What is justice? The act of doing what is right in agreement with God's standard, in the state of being proper relationship with God. That's what the definition of them, three definitions for the one word. So I compiled a list of what they were, and the list came up of combining them all together. And God put on my heart, these are the words you need to look up and understand, John. To understand what righteousness is, we need to look into the light and be light to our community. From this list, I looked at the words calm, accurate, truth, and prosperity. What do they mean, Lord? And God put on my heart to look at Matthew 5:13-16. I will read it. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15. Neither do people put a light underneath a lampstand, underneath a bowl. Instead, they put it on the lampstand and give the light out for everyone in the house. Verse 16. In the same way, Let your light shine before men, that they may see good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You could do a sermon on that alone, but what God wanted me to say to you is, we are righteous not to puff ourselves up, but to let others watch us in how we happen to be a light. And you can see I'm a very visual person. I happen to be a person that likes to have things happen. I don't happen to just, how would you say, want to be able to preach it on my own. But we have a light, and we have a bucket. And I always wonder, if we have a light, and we are a light, how does that work? Now, if it was night, we would see that this candle is actually giving off light. And if it was really dark in here, this light would actually be able to see me. And we put it on a lampstand so that it would actually give light to all around. Hey, thank you for the lights, guys. And we can all see this light. But he says, don't put it underneath a lampstand. Can anybody see the light right now? No, it is gone. It is worthless to no one. See, Jesus told us we are light. It's nothing we do. It happens to be that Jesus is shining through us. In fact, Thomas said to me earlier, I see you shining. You're gorgeous. Because I'm doing God's will, it's nothing I'm doing. It happens to be Jesus through me. If I'm light and I happen to be in this bucket, could anybody see what Jesus is doing through me? It's worthless. Now, it also talks about being on a hill. This light shines farther since it's up in the air. And as we stand in our community, when we stand up as Christians, we're able to be seen. Jesus says, you cannot hide if we're on a hill. But let me ask you this. This light, is it still burning? It's going to be fading. It's going to go away. It's looking at this light has no purpose. Every one of you, when you accepted Jesus, the Holy Spirit came down and gave you a gift. And the gift is to be able to be used in the body. And if you hide it underneath the bucket, it could be, your gift could be, we happen to have very many men in this group right now that are painting and doing all different tasks. They are gifts from God. How are you using them? Are we serving the body? Oh, shoot, it didn't work. Let me try it again then, because I know it will work. There was enough oxygen in there that it kept burning. But if the light stays under there too long, it will burn out. Because it burns up all the oxygen. And what I'm trying to say is, as Christians, are we using the light of Christ properly? Matthew 5, 13 through 16, we just went through, and we looked at, are we supposed to be light in the community? Yes. Are we supposed to be flaunting it and saying how righteous we are? No, thank you for saying no. I like interaction. No, we are supposed to be representing it because people are watching. They're seeing that light and they're seeing the difference. When you put the light under the bowl, we lose the value. Another definition of our righteousness is we are looking at what is right, rightful, and righteous. 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very word of God. If anyone serves, he is to do it with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. And Peter says, Amen. Peter is telling us, we are righteous. God made us righteous. And people are watching you. And as they're watching you, they're seeing, how do you act out your faith? Are you being light? Or are you hiding your light underneath a basket? One of the things that I was honored to yesterday is a man entered my office I've known for a few years. And he says, I need to talk. He says, my wife and I are in a divorce. I've loved her for 13 years. And she's leaving me for another man. And he says, the things that people are watching are, how am I handling my faith? And as he's talking to me, I was writing my sermon. And I crossed out a section. Because I thought you needed to hear this also. Is he says, people are watching my faith. They're watching, am I being the light, being true to God? Or am I going to fizzle out and crash? Am I going to become resentful? Am I going to become bitter? Am I going to become angry? And he says, they're watching which path I'm driving down. And some are cheering me on. The Christian brothers and sisters are saying, even from this, God will use it for good things. We cried and we hugged. And it was a blessing to be together. Because he told me the truth is that people are watching the light. I hope it works this time. And as you see the smoke, that's all the light becomes, is smoke, worthless. It gives nothing and no value. And the light might be like the clanging gong, having no value. So people are watching us. In our righteousness, are we showing the light of Christ? Last week I said my sermon, no matter how good it would be, was worthless. And I meant it. I used Isaiah 64:6 to say, all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all the righteous acts are like a filthy rag. At this time, I don't want you to listen to my words. I want you to open your heart and have the Holy Spirit and God moving in you. Because that's what's going to matter. Because your righteousness, you are the ones that are going to be making the difference in other people's lives. My sermon's only going to be heard here and then it'll fade. And like the rest of Isaiah, will shrivel up and like the winds be swept away and has no value. It only has value if you take it and go out and spread the word. Paul tells us in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, for of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:18, right after that, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by man. Now let's break this down just a little bit. Does eating and drinking, living life, really matter? Now, this would be very strong for the Jews because eating pork is very sinful for them. So if you were eating pork, it would actually be very against God. It would be like a sin. But we are looking at is the things that we do every day, the minor things, don't matter. Because if the righteousness of God need to be seen, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit needs to happen in the body. Do not judge your brother so harshly. Instead, have a righteous act. How many people here have, I don't want to see hands. This is not a hands one. But how many people here have sin in their life? Okay? How many people here have addictions in their life? How many people here have problems? We as a body shouldn't be judging what they're eating and the different pieces. We should be coming alongside of them, being the light, and helping them along. I guarantee we will fill this church by caring for others and not judging them. So let's look at what are the parts of righteousness we need to look at. How about justice, fairness, and salvation? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. We are going to be judged here on earth in what we did. Did we accept the gift given to us? Jesus Christ has given us the gift of salvation. Did we accept it while we were here on earth? Or did we think it can happen any day? We can't go back and fix things. We will be judged for the things that we do. But are we doing the things for Christ? Or are we living life for us? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus will purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus is the judge of righteousness. Jesus is in charge of the throne, in front, on top, looking down. And we're going to talk about that in Matthew in a second. But after we are judged, Jesus comes around and comes down from the judgment throne to come alongside of us and say, His sins, her sins have been forgiven. I have paid the price. What a glorious thing. Now, are we sharing that with others? Let's look at Matthew 25:31-40. Jesus tells us exactly. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels are with Him. Wow, just think about that. Jesus is going to come in and all these angels coming in. What a glorious thing to watch. He will sit on His throne in the heavenly glory. Verse 32. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate His people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. We just read that in 1 Corinthians 5:10. He's going to be judging us. In verse 33, He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you are blessed by My Father. Take your inheritance in the kingdom and prepared for you since the creation of the world. Remember back in Genesis, they created all things. In verse 35, For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. Verse 37, Then the righteous will say to Him, Lord, when did I see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you a drink. 38. When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or imprisoned or to visit you? Verse 40. The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of my brothers of mine, you did for me. These are righteous acts. And as we reach out into our community, are we doing righteous acts? Are we serving our brothers and sisters, not just in the body, and using our spiritual gifts that are given to us? Are we reaching out to the community? Are we impacting the people around our community? The men's Bible study on Wednesday nights, a few Wednesdays ago, one of the men prayed a prayer that touched my heart. The prayer tugged at my heart because I asked this individual on the spur of the moment, could you pray for us? And he prayed a prayer that I truly mean and I feel is for this church. He said, prepare this church for the people to come, to prepare the workers to be ready, and that we're going to be able to serve. This man does not speak up very often, but when he speaks of the Word of God. It was an honor to be there. And I think that's a good plug for the men. Men, if you want to be part of a Bible study, we have one on Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock, correct? 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. Come. There's plenty of room. But this prayer was meant to make a difference in our community. And it touched me. Now, let's look at the righteousness. Let's look at the part for truth and claims and righteous deeds. Matthew 6:5. And when we pray, do not be like a hypocrite, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by man. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. Now, Jesus is telling us that he has already received his glory here on earth for praying so wise. God put on my heart. Truth. What is truth? Well, Dave, I got my coffee. Just don't tell Pastor, okay? Whoa! Sorry. It's empty. It's just a prop. Pastor doesn't allow us to drink in the sanctuary. But I'm looking at is this prop is used at coffee is good. I was going to ask Dan what kind of coffee it was because he drinks the good stuff. But this coffee represents truth. And it's wholesome. And you can put cream and you can put sugar because my friend Jim here puts cream and sugar in his and you stir it up. Oh, it's good. It's truth. But we look at, sometimes truth is happen to people say that perception is real. And I don't believe perceptions are real. I believe truth is truth. And you look at perceptions, sometimes they're not truth. And they could be sinful. So I got a little manure here on the stage. I'm just kidding. There's no manure on the stage. But if I did have manure, it would be sin. And if I take my spoon and I stir that manure up, you think I'm going to put it in the cup of coffee? No. But I happen to have the perception that my preaching is so good or that person's praying so good is really a sin to God. And even if I take the sin, then that sin could actually be other stuff. We can make this very wide. It's not just the person that's preaching and preaching out loud to be glorious. That sin could be pornography. That sin could be gossip. That sin could be anything we take our spoon and we get involved in can dirty the truth. And I'll shake off that sin because you know what? I'm a Christian. I only look at that sin. I only play with it. I'm really not part of that sin. But as I take that sin and put it into truth and I stir it up, who here wants to drink that coffee? Who here wants to drink that coffee that's actually got manure in it from that spoon? Truth is truth. We need to stay righteous. We need to stay away from sin. Because nobody wants to drink that cup of coffee with a dirty spoon. Now, we can look at, Jesus can clean that up. Let's look at Romans 3:22-24. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short from the glory of God. Verse 24. And are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ or by Jesus Christ. Nothing I do can clean that up. Nothing. We're all fallen. We all have sin. The part I also liked in there that we looked at, there is no difference. Thomas said that earlier. We have a church that is going to become multicultural because that's what God is making it. We have people that are from different color. We have different people with different abilities. And John, not to put you in a spot, but we have people that are different handicaps. They're all come together and not see any differences. We have people of different ages. How do we come together as a body? I think my sermon happens to be more about how can we show our righteousness, not boast it, because that would be a sin. That would be like the person that's just praised so well and elegant that you think is being used by God. In closing, I want to talk about we need to be righteous to show the light to our community and not to be boastful, but to come alongside and support. And to talk about support, if you see this flyer on the back, if everyone would be willing to take this flyer and hand it to someone else or post it someplace, we have the opportunity to have a great speaker to come for the youth. And this is going to be geared towards a youth event. Go out and share this in the community. Give the ability that we happen to have a righteous thing happening here. We have a Christian speaker coming. We need to share the news. I can see that the clock is saying it's 11:05, so I have another 45 minutes, 50 minutes to preach. Oh, I'm glad you understood that was a joke. I'm going to dismiss us. And as I do, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that this church can be seen as a righteous church, not a Pharisee scene. I pray that we can be seen as a light in the community. I pray that we can also be a body of righteousness, a body that comes together, that supports each other with no judgments, but only love. And I pray that this is not a sermon that's heard one time and forgotten. I pray that God has tugged on the hearts to change each one of us to be closer to you, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.